Just before I go into the Word of God, I would like to read a story that I came across. There were two generals, because I'm going through the full armor of God, I just thought something which I came across as a military joke. So here, General Mackenzie was in charge of the Navy, and he was visiting his colleague, who was General Marshall, who was in charge of the Army. Mackenzie arrives at the military camp and is greeted by Marshall. They both walk around the place. And Mackenzie asks, "So, how are your men?" Mackenzie answers, "Very well trained, General." "I hope so. You see, my men over at Navy are so well trained. You could see they are the bravest men all over the country." "Well, my men are also very brave too," answers Mr. Mackenzie. So Marshall calls the Private Cooper and says, "Private Johnson, I want you to stop the tank coming here with your body." And Mr. Johnson answers, "Are you crazy? It will kill me. You idiot, I am out of here," as Private Johnson runs away. And the Marshal turned to confused Mackenzie and said, "You see, you have to be pretty brave to talk to the general like that." So, no matter what the authorities bring, you have to be wise, discerning to see what's brave, what to do, but to save your life more than anything. So we are going through it. Yes, we come across those situations where you have to make a decision either to authority or to life, but we choose life. And praise God to that. Okay, let's go back, turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, which gives the verses about putting on the full armor of God. And that's where Paul writes to Ephesians, verses 10 to 18. "A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor, or the breastplate of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Praise God for His Word. Right here, today we'll be, I'll be sharing on breastplate, which is mentioned it as the breastplate of righteousness. And when we talk about righteousness, yes, how can we be righteous? How can we become righteous? Or how do we wear the breastplate? How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? And last time we talked about the truth, the belt of truth. Just waiting to come on. This one doesn't work for some reason. Right. We were looking at being strong in the Lord last time when I preached here, and in the power of His might. And also, as the word says, stand firm on the ground. It mentions about three times in there to say stand firm, stand against. So it is what we need to do, though we are coming across as the enemy wiles, and we come across the different strategies of the enemy. The main thing we need to be is stand firm, and which it will be in the word of God. Again, we need to recognize the enemy and his wiles. I was speaking to Uncle Keith and I was saying, you know what? Yes, we do pick up some parts of the full armor and we try to fight every battle. Every armor, part of the armor, or every equipment has its own purpose. And right armor has to be used to face certain or fight certain battle. We can't be using one part of the armor which is not against which is supposed to be. We can't use breastplate for something to attack, but it defends. And also we can't use helmet salvation for something we can have to use for the breastplate. So we have to find what are we fighting against. It is so important to recognize the enemy and what his wiles are, so we use the right equipment to come against the plans of enemy. So recognizing the enemy and then using appropriate grace are part of the armor to come against the wiles of the enemy. So now we are looking at what is the reason why do we need to have righteousness. And if we look at it in the word of God, it guides you. The righteousness or righteousness of the man. Let's look at what exactly righteousness means. In the word, if we look, everybody kind of, when we look at the dictionary online or if you look at its the words in the dictionary, you see it as upright. Some parts of it says integrity. Some part of it says being right. And if we look at it, we are not right. We are not righteous. We are not something we can put it on by ourselves. But we have to agree what it actually says in here. If we look at Proverbs chapter 11 verses 4 to 6. The integrity of the upright will guide them. So righteousness, the purpose or the reason is to guide us. The riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but the righteous delivers from death. Firstly, the righteousness guides us. Secondly, the righteousness delivers us from death, and it also delivers us from the ways of the world. Proverbs 11, 4 to 6. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but unfaithful will be caught in their lust. And the righteousness of the blameless will direct his ways. When we are looking at these are the reasons or benefits, or this is why, how the righteousness can help us. 1 Samuel 26 verse 23 says, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness. The Lord will reward you for being righteousness. And it says as well, what is the need? Or when we look at it, why breastplate? Why is it so important when we come to righteousness? It comes to as a breastplate. We'll look into it in a minute. But as a source of righteousness, as I mentioned, it is not something we can gain. It is not something we can get it by ourselves. But the source of righteousness in the Lord himself. And we know the word which says, we all have fallen short of his glory. Nobody is righteous. Everybody has fallen short of his glory. But the only righteousness we get, as Paul writes to Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. And be found in him, Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The righteousness comes from God by faith. We can't get it from by our own or by our deeds. We fall. With our fallible nature, we do the wrongdoings. We can't be upright. But through the blood of Jesus, which is shed on the cross, and the day of judgment, when the God comes, he looks through us through blood of Jesus. And through him, we have the righteousness. And we can't gain by our doings, or we can't gain from our wealth, we can't gain it from our deeds. But we can only get it through Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul mentions it very much. He is the source. He is where we get our righteousness from. It is not by the law. Yes, righteousness, when it comes, it can be a sincerity, it can be a integrity part of it. When we talk, right, you know what, I will be sincere, I will be doing this, I will be able to follow all the law that was given to me. But does that make righteous? No. The only way to get that righteousness, yes, you can be sincere following it, you can be part of integrity following the law, but the only way that we can be righteous is through Jesus Christ. That's what Paul mentions to Philippians. So the source of our righteousness is Jesus alone. And the other verse, if we look at it, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He, we are talking about Abraham. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And again, it is about his faith. God has promised me, and God will perform. There is no part that I have to play in this promise. Whatever the promise God gives, he will perform it. And this is what for us today as well. There is no part we can play for the promises of God to be performed in our lives. And it is all, he said, it is in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God has promised, it will be performed. God will do it for me. So it was counted as righteousness for Abraham. So it is God, not us. We can't gain any righteousness, but it is the source that we get it is from God. And New Living Translation, when we look at the full armor of God, in verse 14 it says, stand your ground, putting on belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. It is not our righteousness. He talks about God's righteousness that we put on. Right, okay, this is the source where we get the righteousness from. But why Paul was asking to put this righteousness, which is from God, as a breastplate? And he, when he looked at the soldiers then, they had all the full armor. First, which holds the whole armor together, the belt of truth. And this one you put on to cover your inner parts, most vital parts of your body. It covers your heart, it covers your lungs, it covers your liver, which is a very integral part of the body, which is very vital. Soldiers at that time had another piece of protective armor to ward off enemy blows, the shield. But during the battle, these blows could come from unexpected directions. The shield will take you, or you can obstruct it when you know where it is coming from. But this armor, the breastplate, you do not know where the enemy is trying to attack you. So you are covered in there. The blows could come from unexpected directions, or there could be too many to ward off with the shield. Then the breastplate provided protection against the unexpected and against overwhelming numbers. And this is very important for us when we wear this breastplate. You cannot be surprised by what's being attacked. Oh no, I wasn't aware of this. I wasn't aware of what enemy is playing. I wasn't aware of this temptation. This is why Paul writes, put on the full armor of God. You can't be just holding one. If you are holding the shield, just a shield, yes, protects you from only the directions which you can see, the direction which is coming from when you can recognize it. But if there are too many arrows, if there are too many shots, if there are too many directions, you won't be able to face every side. So you need to put on. And this is a very, very important armor, or part of the armor which protects the vital parts of your body. Righteousness is a characteristic of conversion and constitutes that divine image after which we were renewed. And this writer writes, righteousness is acting in accord with divine and moral law, free from guilt or sin. It's just, it's fair, it's sincere, but actually, righteousness is not something a theoretical or which is a hope. Righteousness is actual attainment that we have already achieved relating to actions, habits, or behavior. We show that by attaining the attitude that we have towards God. And in a way, it just says, once you have achieved it, we have become new. When we said we have got the righteousness of God, old is gone and everything has become new. And that's where we look into the verses as well. And let's look at this need for the breastplate for righteousness. Why do we actually need it? And there is a commentary which was really attracted my attention there, caught my attention. As the breastplate defends the heart and lungs and all those vital functionaries that are contained in what is called the region of thorax, so this righteousness defends everything on which the man's spiritual existence depends. And that is why we need to have the breastplate of righteousness. Everything depends on the existence of the righteousness on which the man's spiritual existence depends. Because if you look at it, if I do not have the righteousness or the point where I can look back as a reference where God saved me or how God has done for me or what God has done for me, there is no existence in that place of where I can really spiritually look into hope. There is no hope without what Jesus has done that on that cross for me. There is no hope of what happens afterwards, or even if we look at it after the death, or what happens. Every hope depends upon the righteousness which is given by Jesus, who paid everything on that cross for us. We have had these wonderful songs this morning, which all showed the truth. And the truth is how Jesus has done it on that cross. And And as I'm talking about need for the breastplate, the enemy tries to destroy us using deception and violence. The first thing he does is the deceit. Righteousness is necessary to recognize or to discover Satan's wiles or the enemy's wiles. So recognize the deceit. Yesterday, we went to a shopping center. And then Ethan looked at a toy, which he was very much interested in. So he picked it up, and we thought, okay, it's few pounds, so that's okay. He plays with it, and he's very much interested in it. So let's see what happens. And I'm sure some people might have seen him while he was playing here. Those something lights up. I'm not quite sure how it plays, but he was playing around with that. And when he opened it up, he said, "This is wicked." And I thought, "Why did you buy something which is wicked?" And then, when he was doing some tricks, and Jaden comes and says, "Da, that's sick, da." I was like, one calls it wicked, and the other one calls it sick. And you wonder, what's wicked and what's sick? And you say, you wanted to buy and I paid money for something which is wicked and which is sick. And of course, now, when we ask them, okay, why is it sick? Why is it wicked? And it's, "Daddy, it's cool, Daddy. It's cool language to say, you know, wicked is, it's too good. And sick is, it's too good." Well, probably I wasn't born in England for sure. And I know some language of English when we look at it. Yes, I knew some words which I learned. But what they know or what they are learning now is sick. You know, the language we look at, wicked, sinful, immoral, wrong, this is what the dictionary meanings give it to me. But informal, or the local language, it says it's excellent, superb, superlative, first class. And you wonder, which is true, which is not. Why I'm saying this? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 20 says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter." This is just the language that kids have probably picked it up. That's the learn. But when you really look at it, what a sorrow that people are being taught what is evil is actually okay. What is good is actually, no, that's not what we do. It's not cool to do what you are doing. Especially when we look at the boys in the school when they are talking about what's happening. What is right to fear God is not something, a good thing. And when we look at it, okay, God, there is no God. The Bibles are not allowed into the school anymore. Yes, everything else is allowed, but Bible can't be allowed into the school. Which is good has become evil, and which is evil has become good. Which is light has become dark, and which is dark has become light. So when we look at this, which is bitter is now become sweet. And what is sweet has become bitter. The word of God has become bitter. The word of God which gives life has become no life and it's become bitter. And the word of God which shows you the path to go to has become bitter. but everything else has become sweet. It's only through righteousness, what Jesus has done done upon that cross, that we can recognize. You know what? Yes, the world may say, what a sorrow that they are looking at and saying the evil is good. But I know where I am referring to. I am covered with the breastplate of righteousness. So I know to recognize what is deceit. I know what is the plan of the enemy. I know when people are speaking about peer cultures or peer pressures, cultures, and as they are growing up. No, my reference point is the righteousness that God has given me. It is not through the world that I get this recognition. It is not through the world which is bitter has become sweet now. And which is honey to my lips, the word of God has become bitter now. And it is very important for us to recognize what the enemy is doing, and to recognize the deceit is very important to carry on. Righteousness is necessary to resist the assaults of the enemy. Wrongdoings and sin does not only blind us, but also it weakens us. Once, as a man who is so weak to resist the temptations from the enemy tries to attack from all directions. All weaknesses, all temptations, all guilts, and all lies. He tries every possible way. Let me tell you this. Enemy knows about all your weaknesses. Enemy knows about all your weaknesses. But the good news is, God knows all my strengths. And God gives me strength to overcome all the weaknesses I have. And it's very important for us to know. You know what? We were talking the other day, and Pastor also mentioned this, and I would like to reiterate that. Do not give the enemy too much credit for what he does not deserve. And saying, you know what, enemy made me do this. No, he can't make you to do anything. But what he possibly can do, or what he will do, is to provide you with a range of choices which will attract every weakness you have. He will possibly give, I mean, the choice you get, even you don't get in Debenhams, M&S, wherever you go, you wouldn't have the choice. But the best choice you can get is from the enemy. Because he knows the weaknesses. He knows exactly what to give you to get the attention. He can present everything. Because naturally we are weak, we are fallen, we are helpless without the strength that God gives us. But I would just like to say that's necessity for our righteousness, but the word of God says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptations. For everything that enemy gives you, puts you before, you can say, watch, take time, and pray. Lord, you are the only source who can help me at this point. Nothing else. The name of Jesus can only deliver us from what we are facing through. Not just the temptations, but the struggles we have, the situations we are going through. The only strength is Jesus. I'd like to remind you a couple of things before I finish. And it is the necessity for us to find out what the enemy is trying, the deceit of the enemy, and also to fight against the attacks of the enemy. But what is sufficient to us is the righteousness of God. That is what we need to put on. What does that righteousness do to us that God has given? It turns impurity into sanctity. That's what the word of the righteousness has done to us. As I mentioned, the enemy cannot force us to commit sin. But what he can do is present to us temptations as are suited to our natural desires and suggest such considerations to our minds are likely to persuade. What it does is to spark the combustible matter that is in us. We have got that in our fallible bodies, the combustible matter. But what the enemy does is he just sparks them and we burn in it. And that's what enemy does. But if we do not put it off by the armor that God has given us, putting on the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, it will burn us to the lowest. If we do not extinguish the fire or the temptation or the struggle that the enemy is bringing us by the grace of God and the word of God, it will burn us to the lowest. But when the soul, when our heart is equipped or armed with the righteousness and knowing the qualities, everything is changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. Who I was, I'm not anymore. When we say, your grace is sufficient to me. And we are saying, Lord, thank you for your grace, the righteousness that you have given to me. I don't have to feel impure anymore. I don't have to feel that guilt anymore. I don't have to feel my wrongdoings come back to me anymore. But you know what? I know through the blood of Jesus, who has paid that all on that cross, I can look up to that and say, you know what? I am now being sanctified through the blood of Jesus. I am seen as the righteous child of God through the blood of Jesus. But it is so important for us to know it is the sufficiency of righteousness that we need to know. This is sufficient for me. This is His grace is sufficient for me. His righteousness is sufficient for me. I don't have to look anymore, find anymore, or do it myself anymore. And secondly, what happens is we change from cowards to courageous. When you know when you got a weapon, you don't fear anymore. You've got the defense and you know, yes, I can defend this. I've got the arm to defend this. I've got the weapon to attack on what the enemy is bringing on me. So, enemy has the power over us by the means of fears. What the enemy does is to bring fear into us first. So have you lost your salvation because what you have done? Or is it so true that, and it brings in every sort of fear which can build up. And if we once fall into that circle, it spirals us down and down and down. And we will be at the lowest point. But when you have the righteousness, when you know, I've got the breastplate of righteousness, I am armed with this, no matter what's happening against, I will stand like the three young men who were asked to bow down before a statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they say? You know what? No matter what brings to me, I am very much established in righteousness of God. I am very much established in what God has given me. Though the authorities, principalities, anything might say the otherwise, but I am rooted in this righteousness that God has given to me. And you are brave enough to take it on. You are armored with the righteousness of God. And you say, bring it on. But I am not going to bow down to your statue. Even though they have gone through the fiercest fire, they came out even without the smell of smoke or fire. How amazing our God is. So they took that stand to say, you know what? Righteousness of God will keep me, will protect me. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can overpower me. Nothing else can say the words which were probably spoken into my life when I was childhood. Nothing else will come back, because now I am covered by the blood of Jesus, and now I am covered by the righteousness of God. No matter what world calls me, no matter the people who love me might have been forsaken and telling me something otherwise, but the Lord who loves me and never forsakes me, His love never changes towards me, because Father God, when He comes, He's not just seeing who I am, but He's seeing through the righteousness of God, which is the blood of Jesus. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be scared of the situations what I'm going through, but give glory to God in the highest. I will praise only the God in the highest. I would not bow down to anything what my authorities bring, what my officers bring, but I only bow down to the King of Kings, the Holy One, the Righteous One, and nothing else can make me to bow down other than the blood of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's the power that God gives us. That's the courage God gives us. Yes, I can stand against everything because of the righteousness that God has given me. I'm not going to lose it. I have the security in God that God has given me. That's the courage. And I'm not going to have any fear because God has given me the righteousness. We turn from cowards to courage when we know, when we put on the righteousness of God. And the third and the last one before we close, weakness to strength. I would like to go back to this word of God from where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. One thing we just need to remember. We ourselves are nothing. It is Him in us, whatever makes it us. When you have accepted Jesus, when you have taken that brave step to say, I'm going to follow Jesus all the rest of my life, and when you are baptized in the water, when you have taken that decision to follow Jesus and baptized, you say, I am dead to myself, and I am risen with Christ. It's no longer me who lives, but the Christ in me who lives. And when you know the Christ in you lives, you know the power you have, you know the authority you have, and you know the power when you speak, the words you speak have the authority. And when you are saying, Christ in me lives, you know what? You are no longer a normal or as kind of a general human being as you look at it. You are dead to yourself. Let me remind you, you are dead to yourself. You are dead to yourself, but you are alive because of the Christ in you. It's Christ in you who lives. And let that righteousness guard you and protect you and keep you from when you are saying, it's Jesus, it's Christ who lives in me. And we have a very familiar word as well when it says, through Christ I can do. Whether it is low, whether it is high. Whether it is humility or whether glorifying God. When taking the battle or when the victory comes. When you are going through the struggles or when you have overcome the temptations. In everything, through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive of every thought to make obedient to Christ. Any negative thoughts that the enemy gives you, take captive of it. Because you're not weak anymore. It's the strength that God has given you. Take captive of those thoughts. I pray that out of glorious riches, He may strengthen you in power through His Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. There is no weakness anymore. From whatever the weakness we have, God has strengthened us. Through His glorious riches, He will strengthen the power through His Holy Spirit. The inner being, let's not it be a pretense outside how brave we are, what we do. You know what? Let Word of God deal with you, the inner being. And the strength that gives you outpours what you have in the inner being. Let God deal with it. And when you are that done, you are no more weak. From weakness, you go into strength. There is something, an ancient proverb which says, journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Just coming to the end. We have heard this now. Righteousness from God. Wearing the breastplate. What the enemy brings to us. We have looked at everything. But what I would like to say is in the similar way, the journey to put on the breastplate of righteousness begins with a single choice. Our life involves a series of choices. We talk about this. David, when he has committed adultery and being a murderer, it didn't just happen. He allowed the thoughts. If he had taken captive of those thoughts, he would have been a different place probably. Allowing the thoughts, they have materialized into actions. When we are looking at wearing the breastplate that God has given us, take those right decisions, right choices, knowing that through Jesus, who has strengthened me, who has given me the power, strengthened me through His Holy Spirit, strengthened my inner being. I can fight the battle with the full armor of God. And I put on the righteousness of God so that whatever the enemy brings from any directions, any weaknesses, my brothers and sisters, know that His righteousness is sufficient to us. His grace is sufficient to us. We haven't earned this. We haven't done anything to earn His love. We sang this morning. but God has given us through His love. And let's make those decisions and choices depending on God's righteousness where He has given us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord,